So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Both of Wisconsin's major political parties are having new leaders this year. Wisconsin I interviewed the new chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party. Now we're offering the two candidates for chair of the state Democratic Party a chance to come in and talk about why they want to be the state chair. So I want to thank State Representative David Bowen. Three terms from District 10, City of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And now party first chair.
I am.
And now running for state chair. And the election will be during the convention that's June 1 and 2, and I think the results will be announced on Sunday, June 2nd?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, I have a threshold question for candidates for state Democratic chair.
Okay.
You ready?
Let's go.
Why are you a Democrat?
Why am I a Democrat? Because at this day and age, in this era where I've been exposed to some of the most partisan, polarizing politics that our country and our state has dealt with, it is important for me to recognize where I come from and the amazing generations behind me that have led me to where I am today. My parents came here from the island of Jamaica, and many people know that they went all the way to Wisconsin for economic opportunity. And a lot of the folks that we have around this country and this state are now being threatened with the loss of access to economic opportunity to be the generation that will be better and go further than their parents. Right now, we're at a critical crossroads to see if we can go and return that accessibility, return that opportunity back to regular working people again. And I'm a Democrat because I believe Democrats are the ones that fight for working class people. They fight to ensure that that dream can be accessible again.
How has your three terms in the state assembly and your service as party first vice chair prepared you to be state chair?
Yeah, I think everything is coming full circle. You know, there was a time when I believed that I was just supposed to be in the background, that this was too much, too big for me to focus on as someone that would be out front. And there are many roles that we can play. I come from youth organizing. I come from doing community work and working with high school and young people, high school students and young people all across this state, all across this country, that are focused on youth-led social change to make sure that we can dramatically make a shift and transform our communities across the spectrum, and to ensure that we are putting opportunity back in the hands of our young people again. So I feel like this is coming full circle. We get a chance to lead the Democratic Party, possibly with this upcoming convention, into an era where possibly we could see the reverse. Back in 2010, we saw things go to the Republican side where they had complete control. I feel like we have what it takes to be able to lead the party to have a shot at instituting a Democratic agenda with a Democratic majority that will get it done.
Is it important that the next chair come from Milwaukee?
I think it's important that the party reflects the state of Wisconsin and the beauty of diversity geographically in our state and on terms of race. We have a big tent party that encompasses folks from a lot of backgrounds. And, as someone that has grown up in urban Milwaukee but has been exposed to rural Wisconsin and has been able to fight for people in both arenas, it's important for me to be able to connect with Democrats that believe in that. So that's why I'm running, to ensure that a lot of my colleagues, a lot of my peers in the party get a chance to support this vision of having diversity, even in the top positions of our party.
Is it, are you saying the Democratic National Convention is coming to my city, Milwaukee?
It is.
One more reason to elect me, my fellow Democrats, as chair, is it?
I think that's one of the benefits that we could have, right? The world stage will be in our backyard, and how awesome would it be to have a chair that actually is from our community, but is able to be a bridge builder, has built his career on mediating different circumstances and situations where folks sometimes have gotten to altercations with each other, but getting them to see the same goal in mind of us instituting agendas to benefit people of this state, benefit people of this nation. I think the DNC being in our backyard is something that we should be really proud of, but it's something that we all fought for. And I think the DNC is making a great decision, bringing the convention right here.
Why should Milwaukee residents, especially inner city residents, vote for Democratic candidates?
Yeah, I think
why?
It shouldn't be a transactional relationship. It should be a relationship built on respect and inclusion and on the future, right? On what's best for the people of our state, what's best for the people in our communities. Democrats, folks with a D on their name, should be the ones championing issues that affect everyday working class people, especially right in the heartland of our state. And that's the folks that are in Milwaukee, the folks that are in Wausau, the folks that are in all parts of this state, and they're focused on building a legacy for their kids. You know, sometimes we get so entrenched in knowing all the issues and the candidates that the average person, when it comes to politics, they are a little bit more standoffish. And while they pay attention, at the end of the day, they're caring about the really bread and butter issues that are affecting them every day. And I think there are folks across the state that are invested in making sure that we just not win on politics, but that we win the what's better for people's lives, that we win the battle to ensure that this state becomes better. That people can live better lives and have a better quality of life right here in the state of Wisconsin.
How have the policies and the laws enacted by the Republicans, Governor Walker and the Republicans in the Assembly and Senate, how have they impacted inner city Milwaukee residents, residents of the 10th District, which
sure.
you represent?
Sure. This is funny. It spans all the way to when I was back in school and in high school and
Bradley Tech.
At Tech, yeah. And I'm working with my peers all across the city in this program called Urban Underground, and we literally are demanding and advocating for community centers that were proposed by then County Executive Scott Walker to be closed. The King Center and the Kosciuszko Center, right in the core people of color communities in Milwaukee. And we wanted those centers to stay open because we know that they were a resource for the community rather than just austerity politics and just keep cutting and cutting and cutting resources and services that people need. Mm-hmm. We should be investing into people and into neighborhoods. So, you know, there is a picture somewhere with me and my friends debating Scott Walker at that table. It goes back that far for me, but for other folks in our communities, these are generational issues that have affected our communities, that have prevented us from being able to grow, being able to live thriving lives and have economic growth throughout the state, throughout communities that have been suffering for that long.
Were you able to save those centers?
We were able to save those centers, right. We influenced the county board to make sure that they saved them and kept a veto-sustaining majority to do it. Mm. So it was interesting to see that come to fruition and then later get the chance to run and be on the county board itself at the age of 24 at the time. So now I've been elected for the last 7 years. I am so excited for the chance to be able to do more, to be able to contribute more, and possibly get my friends, my colleagues and peers in the Democratic Party to see that value and to be able to contribute.
There's a generational aspect to this. You're a millennial.
I am.
You're 33.
32.
Thank you. Sorry
I'm
to give you that.
Close,
sorry
though.
To give you that extra year.
Getting close. My beard's getting grayer. So
you're 32. Thanks for the correction.
Yeah.
All the debate about how interested millennials are in
sure.
politics.
Sure.
Why should millennials vote for Democratic candidates?
Yeah. Because Democrats believe in young people in leadership. Let me tell you, Alicia Lorta.
Okay.
Is,
now you're running on a slate. Hold that up a little bit. So if I'm a delegate. Do I have to vote for the slate of Bowen, Wood, and Lorta, or can I just vote for, how does it work?
Yeah, the way our rules are set up is that you actually can vote separately for each candidate you like.
Yes, but you,
we're running as a team.
Okay.
And we
Why?
Get the chance.
Tell me about each of your running partners. Then.
Yeah. I'll start with Alicia first because she is 19 years old. She
okay.
is a student at UW-Madison, and she is an important part of our leadership ticket because she's from Kenosha. She is connected to youth organizing. She has been doing it on the ground, has even worked for congressional campaigns at the young age of 18 at the time. And we believe in her. We believe that she has a place and that it will reverberate across our state and our party to have young people in top leadership.
And she's
positions.
Running for which
For second vice chair.
Second vice
yeah.
chair. Thank you. And then
so Tammy Wood. Tammy Wood is the chair of the Sauk County Dems. She is an amazing rural organizer. And I'm so proud I had the chance to nominate her to be a part of our campaign operations. After she worked for Art Schrader, who ran for state assembly, you may know of.
Oh, yeah. I've interviewed him.
And she is an amazing rural organizer. At the time, she did not get the chance to actually work for our coordinated campaign operations. So I believe in Tammy and really building this homegrown talent pipeline where we can find folks from the local level that can have an influence and have the chance to work for operations rather than just focusing on folks that come in from the outside, they parachute in, and they don't have a connection to their communities. We believe that is a winning strategy for us Democrats.
And so you're from Milwaukee, and Tammy's from Sauk, and Alicia goes to UW-Madison, but she's from, did you say, Kenosha?
Kenosha, yeah.
Okay, so this is the slate,
yeah.
And you're asking delegates to support you three, these three.
Absolutely.
Okay, appreciate
yeah.
that. Thanks. Let me ask you a couple questions. How should the Wisconsin Democratic Party, if you're chair, use social media? Is it using it effectively now? Should it be used, social media be used differently, David?
Sure. I think we could do a lot more. And we know that there are ways that folks are engaging online that we probably haven't tapped into yet. So we need to use cutting-edge pieces of technology. We really need to also couple that with text messaging and folks that have the ability to be connected. To be able to get access to that information in real time. And there's been some really good advances since, think about from the 08 campaign with the Barack Obama campaign
yeah,
in
yeah.
social media. But we really have a ways to go. I think we're only using the tip of the iceberg when it comes to being able to engage and organize folks online and being able to not bash some of the young people the way that they engage online, but using that to transition into actual in-person organizing. There is a way that we can do it, and we believe that you can get folks and meet them where they are, and also get them infused in the same process of advocating for a budget that will benefit the whole state of Wisconsin that is being championed by a Democratic governor.
Starting with the expansion of Medicaid, but that's a separate issue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the last 3 years. President Trump carried Wisconsin, 22,700 votes.
He did.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers was elected,
mm-hmm.
but then many Democrats supported Lisa Neubauer. She lost to Brian Hagedorn. So give me your postmortem first. Why did President Trump carry Wisconsin, David?
Sure. I think the divisions that we had in the party had a huge role, right? And we know for a fact that when we have a majority of people in this state that traditionally agree with us more than our Republican counterparts, it's about connecting with those folks. And in 2016, we did not do enough connecting on the ground. To even fast forward to 2018, the outcomes that we were able to produce in 2018 in a midterm
mm-hmm.
Blew 2016 numbers out of the water. It's important that we can be able to connect that and show that we can be much more consistent in our organizing capability year-round, not just in election cycles. And I think that contributes to the lack of credibility we may have in some communities where we only show up during campaign time.
If you're chair, will the party be heavily elected in the campaign of Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly for another term next April?
I think every election is going to be important to us under our leadership,
okay.
and we will not let any opportunity to be able to get folks to exercise their political power, to talk about the values that they have that we know are the values of the state of Wisconsin. We believe in transparency. We believe in investing in communities. We believe in making sure that we are not giving the short end of the stick to the folks that are the ones that carry the weight of pushing the state forward And what we want to do is to ensure that our political power gets exercised every election cycle.
The Justice-elect Brian Hagedorn, who was endorsed by the Republicans, appeared at their convention last Saturday and thanked those delegates for, well, his term was saving the court. So you will keep the party active in future elections for the state Supreme Court?
Absolutely.
You will? Okay.
Absolutely. And it was more so an election that was within our grasp. Remember, just 6 months before that, we were able to produce unprecedented numbers in a midterm, and we just needed to continue to do that work rather than taking a break and getting back out there a little bit later.
What's at stake in the elections in 2020 and 2022, Mr. Chairman candidate? What's at stake?
What's at stake is the fact that we know that for the past almost decade, Republicans bought control in this state, and that we have a chance to be able to reverse that. Thank God we have elected Tony Evers. Thank God we've elected all five statewide constitutional offices with Democrats to be able to challenge the maps that will be made for the next decade. So we know that 2022 is really what we have our eye on. Donald Trump is a symptom. He is not the root. We want to focus on 2022, but we also know building for 2022 starts with 2020.
So 2020,
we continue that.
2020 top goal was you want Wisconsin to be won by a Democrat.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
And then you want to make gains both in the Assembly and Senate.
Absolutely.
And then in 2022, you want to reelect another Democratic governor?
With a Democratic majority.
With a Democratic majority.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're elected chair, would you move the party headquarters to Milwaukee, your hometown? Have you thought about that?
I have not thought about that. But I know for a fact that when it comes to our especially our county party leaders, right, and our leaders that are on the ground, they have to see that presence in their community. So one of our goals that we've established is that by the primary of 2020, we want to ensure that at least half of all our state parties, all of our county parties have a actual permanent street level visible home base in every county around Wisconsin, at least in half of those, so that we can build towards having every single one to have that presence. I think it's important for us to do that, to be able to equip our county parties with the technology, access to the to internet, access to spaces that they can bring folks together where people know in their community where to go. We know that there are some communities that are really red, but we know that Democrats exist everywhere. We know that there are folks that believe in us, even if they may be more moderate, and they cannot stomach what's happening right now in the Republican Party that doesn't even resemble anywhere close to the history of principles that they once had. So we believe that we have a huge opportunity and that we have to have that presence and that very strong connection that people can see in their communities.
Did your party in 2016, when President Trump was elected, did it lose sight of Wisconsin's middle-class voters and voters of color?
I think we lost sight of working together. I saw so many opportunities for us to be able to put things behind us. But, you know, with the rightfully so, with some of the messaging that were being pushed by Republicans and Russians, tearing us apart. And divide and conquer is a real strategy that works. And I saw so much division in 2016 that it stopped us from producing the outcomes that we could have made in that election cycle. I also see that the messages about Democrats being elitist or being just these folks that are just in ivory towers looking down on regular working people, absolutely not true. But some of those things stuck with some of the electorate, some of the people that were around the state, where they were being bombarded with these images and these methods of getting people not to focus on the goal, but to say, I need to question even the credibility of the people around me and their intentions. And we know that we need to be much more connected with folks on a regular basis instead of having these transactional relationships that do not count. That's why I'm so proud of the work that Block is doing in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And we can make these really big partnerships with folks that we know have the credibility, they're on the ground, they're actually engaging folks where they are. It's important for us to do that.
How does the party raise enough money to build the infrastructure that you just talked about?
Yeah.
Are you at a financial disadvantage compared to the Republicans' ability to raise money?
Well, I think we're always at a financial disadvantage, right? Because we know, especially the way that dark money policies have allowed money that cannot be traced and tracked and to see how it's influencing our elections in real time. It is tough for us to sometimes compete in that realm. But we know for a fact that the folks that are the lifeblood of our party are working class people. Mm-hmm. And just depending on folks that can cut really big checks, which is really nice of them to be able to do that, it has to be a two-pronged approach. We cannot just only rely on the wealthiest people of this country and go to the coast, or the wealthiest people of our state. We are a party because of our membership and them believing in us, having the credibility that we are going to fight on their behalf. So it's important that we build small dollar relationships where people are giving on a regular basis, on multiple small dollar donations at a time, where the same way Beto O'Rourke or Joe Biden can amass millions of dollars in 24 hours, we can amass thousands of dollars with small dollar donors who know that we are going to champion and be transparent with our party, that we really want to represent them.
As party vice chair, you've seen the financial reports. Mm-hmm. Is the party finances, are they in pretty good shape now, or pretty weak?
We actually are in a really good position. And that's why I want to thank Martha Lanning for the service that she's done. It's been an honor to support her for the last 4 years, being in the passenger seat. And cheering her on as we have been steered in a direction of going in, towards a future of our party that's much more robust than it was before. And it's really important for us to recognize how important it is to sustain. It's going to take some very innovative practices to be able to build our donor base, to be able to continue to have the apparatus that will be able to compete with the operation that we know just beat Scott Walker in 2018.
Governor Evers, let me say that again, is the leader of the Democratic Party. If you're the state chair, what relationship will you be? Will you be able to say things? Will you be more critical and more aggressive because the governor can't be? How do you anticipate your relationship with the governor who leads your party?
Sure. I'm going to work with the governor as much as possible. His vision and strategy is really important for us to support. And like you said, he is the highest ranking Democrat in the state of Wisconsin. And we are so appreciative of it because we know that he has an agenda that's going to benefit working class people right here in Wisconsin, turn around some of the wrongs that have been committed by the prior administration, and move down this path that we know that what's best for the state is what's best for our kids. So we're going to move in that direction together. We need a party that's going to support him wholeheartedly. It would have been great if we were right back on doors the very next day after his election, because we can see the current landscape of our Republican colleagues on the other side of the aisle saying that we're not going to focus on things that people actually want. And even though it's in polls where more than two-thirds of folks actually believe in moving in that direction that Governor Evers believes in, they're not going to budge, right? So there needs to be a strategy and a conversation with folks throughout this state, not just with the folks that always agree with us, but also with moderates too, right? Also with folks that are independent too, saying, hey, we need you in this fight to help us institute an agenda. It's going to benefit everybody.
Is the governor staying neutral in this election for party chair?
He is staying neutral. I had a chance to talk to him and U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, who has been tremendous in fighting for health care.
But they're both neutral?
They both are neutral.
What about Mayor Barrett? Has he endorsed you or anyone else?
Mayor Barrett has not endorsed, but we've had conversations, and there have been a number of major mayors. We just had Mayor Eric Gingrich just get elected in Green Bay.
Right.
And, you know, we just had Mayor
Corey Mason in Racine.
Satya Rhodes Conway in Madison. So we have Democratic mayors all over the state that are growing, mm-hmm. That we want to keep having conversations with so we can support them. 2020 especially is not just about our biggest election. It's about those local races, too.
Okay, let's talk about specific issues. Should U.S. House Democrats begin impeachment proceedings on President Trump?
Should the House Democrats should
U.S. House Democrats mm-hmm. begin impeachment proceedings against
President
Trump?
Begin? I think it's something for them to explore, right? We know the fact, right? And we have, this is what's really beautiful, we have county parties right now that are reading word for word the Mueller report.
Yes.
And you wouldn't, sometimes some people think, oh, they're reading a report. No, like they are very much wholeheartedly.
All 478 pages.
They are reading it word for word because they know that just this facade of there was no collusion, everything is dropped, is not the truth. And it is up to House Democrats to expose that truth so that the American people know exactly what happened. So we support our House Democrats in the decision they make.
Do you personally support Medicare for All?
I do support Medicare for All, and I believe our party does as well, right? We have folks apart across the spectrum, even those that are more independent and moderate, where we're seeing that a majority of people actually do, and it's important for us to do that. We believe in a state of Wisconsin that will cover every man, woman, and child so that they don't have to make a decision between paying their mortgage or paying their prescriptions. They don't have to die. Right. Early. They actually get a chance to get access to preventive care, which is cheaper for all of us. Right. We believe in that process. So I think Medicare for All is continuing to grow in its popularity, and a lot of people are behind it.
In 2016, you endorsed Bernie Sanders.
I did.
Hillary Clinton was a nominee.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an issue? Is Mr. Sanders supporting your candidacy for state chair?
You know, I had a really good conversation with Bernie Sanders, Senator Sanders, I should say, when he was here. And he was right here in Madison, had an amazing rally with a ton of folks. You know, I think Bernie wants to make sure that there is a fair process, right? And the same treatment that he wants to have a fair process in the 2020 election, he's going to reflect that here as well. So he will not be endorsing. He wants us to have a conversation with voters and delegates all over the state about the Democratic Party being democratic and making sure that there is even more democracy, that we engage even more young people, that we bring people into the fold, and that we're not shy about having new people engaged. So it's really important for us to be able to do that. And I believe in Senator Sanders and so many other candidates are now stepping up to run because they are going to be the ones that take over the helm and take us down the path to make sure that we can take Donald Trump out of office.
But you've heard Senator Sanders said, looking backward, that the process was stacked in favor of Hillary Clinton. Do you think it was, sir?
It was. It was very clear that it was. You know, we saw that there should not have been given access to party infrastructure to the Clinton campaign even before the primary was over and the nomination was over. So that's a huge problem. That had made a really huge hit in credibility to us as Democrats. We have to ensure that never happens again.
Okay.
And it's important.
With 24 Democratic candidates for president,
you're
going to be neutral, even though in 2016 you endorsed Senator Sanders.
Yeah, and I'll be clear, too. I endorsed Senator Sanders after the Wisconsin primary, and that was important for me to do that because I told both candidates, hey, I don't want to put more support behind you before you even get support from the state of Wisconsin. It's important for you to get
out
there
and talk to our members. After Mr. Sanders won the April primary. Thanks for that clarification.
Yeah.
Couple minutes left. So let's talk about your opponent, Ben Wickler, has been working with Move On.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the differences. Why are you more qualified than Mr. Wickler?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're both great Democrats, and I appreciate what Ben brings to the table and his experience in D.C. and nationally. My experience comes from Wisconsin, right? I have been entrenched here, you know, working on the front lines, ensuring that we could make sure that we are accountable when it comes to engaging folks all across the state, not just in Milwaukee or in Madison, but a statewide strategy. And we've made some tremendous shifts, right? I remember, right, in 2015 when me and Martha Lanning first got elected, there were folks across the country that were saying, what the hell is going on in Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. And why can't you guys win again? And we knew that we had to rebuild some things from scratch. So it's been an honor to be a part of that process. And it's been a long process, right? Those things weren't in place in 2016 so that we could have the outcomes and organizing and contacts that we would have liked. And it's important for us to keep moving down the direction forward. I feel like I have a number of relationships that I've already established that we can continue to build on and hit the ground running.
Do you generally share the goals of MoveOn.org?
I do. I think they're a great organization. And I've been a part of a number of awesome national progressive organizations, especially connecting with some of the most impressive progressive young people that are elected across this country, with People for the American Way and the Young Elected Officials Network. You know, it's been immensely just beneficial for me to be connected to those efforts and to see this movement of more and more young people. When I ran at the age of 24, I could not imagine being in spaces where there are hundreds of us all across this country, and it continues to grow. It's making a huge indent in making sure that we have leadership that is accountable, that is connected to the community, and that is just forward thinking.
Okay, last question is, I need your 10-second elevator speech. Why should you be the next chairman of Democrats? 10 seconds, go.
10 seconds? Well, I think essentially it's going to come down to us changing from just having really good moments to having awesome movements, right, that are consistent and build a strategy beyond just some of the short-term gains that we've had. And we know that we have to start that work right now.
David Bowen,
thanks
for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Telling Wisconsin I why you want to be state chair. And just a programming note, I'm scheduled to interview the second candidate, Mr. Ben Wickler, tomorrow. So, David, thanks very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.